Hello, this is Morris, and I say keep on listening to George 99.7 FM.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for the Joy Sports Link on Joy 99.7 FM, live on YouTube and also on Prime Take on the Joy Prime channel. Well, I promised you last week that we were going to wade into the Black Stars conversation this weekend. And of course, we just decided to, you know, shift it a little bit and look at other areas that we need to focus on as we build up to the elections. Well, it has become necessary because of the happenings of last Monday. Many people have been having various conversations about the technical team, about the playing body, about the quality of football we're playing, and about the future of the flagship brand of our football. And many other things have happened during the week. Of course, including the fact that the Ghana FA's Executive Council had a meeting and did not take any major decisions regarding people and their positions and what they need to be doing going forward, or how stable their respective positions are within the setup of the Black Stars going forward. So we've been told that on the 28th of this month, there'll be a major stakeholder conversation about the way forward for our football. And of course, that will be preceded by this conversation that we're having here today on the Joy Sports Link on Joy 99.7 FM. Greetings to all of our friends who are joining us from all over the world live on YouTube. And we'll be glad to have your comments as well as we go through the show. I know you have loads and loads of comments to share with us. And in a moment as well, we'll be getting to some of you, our friends, who have been following the show, have been following the conversations, have been watching the Black Stars play, and have varied thoughts on what we should do going forward. There are those who are focusing on some individual players. There are those who are focusing on the leadership of the team, the captaincy and all the issues around it, and those who are looking at the technical element, which is who is leading from the dugout. All of these will be discussed here between now and the top of the hour, 2 p.m. And joining us for this conversation, we've got quite a fine list of fine gentlemen who have also paid their dues regarding football administration. Well, Mr. Ernest Thompson is one of the longest-serving football administrators you have in the history of this country and in the history of Ghana's oldest football club, Accra Hearts of Oak. During his tenure as board secretary of the club, there were major strides that were made. He's also served on various committees of the Ghana Football Association and so knows his way around the setup of the FA and how decisions are taken and what sometimes hinders these decisions from being taken. Of course, he's also been close to the Black Stars in terms of being an administrator, has seen all of the things, all of the possible scenarios unfold, and has been observing very quietly from the background. He's got thoughts, and he's going to be sharing his expert view and his specialist view from where he sits with us. Later on, the chair of the Beach Soccer Association under the Ghana Football Association, who's also a seasoned journalist, Mr. Yao Ampofuankra, who's covered the Black Stars in different places around the world, also joins us with his thoughts on this conversation. And the one-time sports journalist of the year, GJA Sports Journalist of the Year, Sadiq Adams, will also be joining us with his thoughts later on during the show. That's the reason why you also have to join us with your thoughts here. As we discuss the Black Stars, look at where we are now and how we get ourselves from here into the foreseeable future. Do remember that the AFCON is done and dusted. We're not answering the roll call in Morocco, but there's still a FIFA World Cup to deal with, and we'll be talking about all of those later on. But I'd like to begin the conversation this afternoon with Mr. Ernest Thompson. Thank you so much, sir. It's great to have you here on the show.
Thank you very much, Nats, and greetings to all your viewers and listeners.
Well,
and especially to Yao. I've not seen Yao for a long time.
I know, he joins us very shortly, I know that. You have been, you know, sharing your thoughts on a daily basis, especially on days when the Black Stars play. You have seen different eras of the Black Stars team, and here is where we find ourselves. Now we're setting records on the negative end of things. Where do you place all of this as we sit here now? We're not going to Morocco, and it's brought up so many issues.
All right, Anat, I mean, as you rightly put it, I mean, I've been there for years, and I've been there before. I've served on the Black Star Management Committee for years, chaired the legal committee, been a member of the FA, even since the time of, during the time of E.T. Mensah and Alhaji Adekoka and the rest. I mean, simply put, I mean, the situation we find ourselves in is extremely embarrassing. Extremely embarrassing. Of course, we've missed the AFCON about six times. I remember when Rwanda took us off and we couldn't go to one. But this is extremely embarrassing for a lot of reasons, none the least being the fact that the team itself is not playing well. Even if the team is playing well and we don't qualify, that's football. But the team is not playing well and has not played well for a very long time. I can put my foot down and say that maybe after Brazil, we've never been able to play anything. And therefore, there's something wrong somewhere. Fortunately for me, I've assessed. I've had extensive discussion with some of the people at the top at the current FA. I won't mention their names because I don't have the authority to do so. I've had a chance to talk to at least one of our foreign coaches who handled this when we're there. And bear in mind that a lot of people are following this thing. Even our past foreign coaches, they've been following this thing. I've had a talk with one of them, right? And it's extremely embarrassing, the kind of things we hear. So that is what I'll say for now. What is important is that at this stage, we need cool heads and take drastic decisions. If we don't have the leaders to take the drastic decisions, we'll just tingle things and we'll be where we are up to now. Or as of now.
Mm.
We need to be very careful.
Mm.
There's light at the end of the tunnel. But it depends on what decisions we take now. Because what I hear talking to them is extremely frightening. Unfortunately, my good friends at the FA now, those at the top, they brought something upon themselves. They've kept things to themselves and are not prepared to talk. And if they don't take care, the fire will engulf them. In an attempt to protect the team, they've kept a lot of things to themselves. So it's extremely embarrassing. But then we should take what has happened as a chance, or we should take what has happened now as an opportunity to get things back. But it demands drastic decisions to be taken.
Mm. We will.
That's what I was saying from the beginning.
Very well. Mr. Ernest Thompson, we'll be coming to the subject of the Black Stars Management Committee and its relevance, because now it's been scrapped. And that just goes to lend credence to some of the calls from the public over the years that we should scrap it. You've been a member of the committee before. I do remember very well that years ago, when we're preparing ourselves for the last World Cup appearance in Qatar, I had a series called, the World Cup Diaries and the World Cup Tales. And I remember interviewing, the former vice president, Mr. Fred Papu, and he spoke about the relevance of the Black Stars Management Committee. I'll be picking your views on this as well. But let's bring Yao into the conversation. Yao, good to see you. And thank you so much for making it.
It's always a pleasure, Charlie.
Yeah. Great stuff there. Yao, you've followed the Black Stars all over the world. Mm. You have followed the Black Stars at competitive competitions, the AFCON, the FIFA World Cup, at friendlies. You've been in camp. You've been in the bus. And here we are.
Yeah.
In the past few days, I've seen people go back, look for videos of the Muntari, Stephen Appiah, Lai Kingston era, and replay them, the Asamoah-Gyan era, and replay them.
Yeah.
And I appreciate those from that. So then it means that we have a lot going on that is wrong.
Absolutely. I mean, and listening to Mr. Ernest Thompson, I've also been on a few assignments with him, with the Black Stars. You know, he's an experienced person. And I can borrow just a couple of things from him. In particular, there's always light at the end of the tunnel. But the problem is, where we are now, maybe the drivers are not the ones who will get us to the end of the tunnel. And unfortunately, when you put it so bluntly, that becomes a problem. The problem rather now shifts, and then the fact that you are addressing the issue of, look, you've tried your best isn't good enough, I think you need to make way. Or find other solutions. We've sacked coaches, it hasn't worked. 5-5, right? 5 coaches in 5 years, it hasn't worked. We've changed players, you know, we've invited a whole number of players. We still don't seem to have what we need to even qualify for the AFCON. But the most depressing part of the Black Stars slump right now, and one that I fear if we don't somehow revive, is the spirit of the team. Nats, the Black Stars are listless, no spirit. And that for me is even more crucial than perhaps, you know, any other external factor. Because and Mr. Ernest Thompson would agree with me, if you look at the most successful teams, even before our time of following the Black Stars, it was always about their spirit, the spirit of the team, which kept them together, which kept them strong, and dominant, you know, stoic. But we don't seem to have that now. And unfortunately, the drivers of the vehicle are seemingly lost. I know...
this is sounding very, you know, partisan.
Oh, right. It was not intended to be. Yeah,
The narrative about who's driving the vehicle.
And yeah, they we're lost because, Nats, I don't know. The latest I've heard is that the FA would hold a stakeholders meeting on the 28th of November in Pram Pram. And I'm asking myself, okay, so... are we saying we don't know what the problem is? We still don't. You and I sit here, Mr. Ernest Thompson, we know what the problem or the problems are. Stakeholders meeting to address or to look at the way forward after our failure to qualify for the AFCON. I don't think that's the problem. Failure to qualify for the AFCON is one result of a whole plethora of bad decisions, strategic, you know, taking the wrong paths. There's a whole list. I don't think that's the problem. We need to have people take responsibility. If this was Nigeria, South Africa, Cameroon, even expanded, England, France, Germany, where in the world would you have such an embarrassing record? And the people in charge, those who orchestrated or those who were supposed to handle that situation, are still there. And my problem, again, the confidence of Ghanaians has gotten to a stage where people are not even putting their spirit behind the team. There is no way your national team can succeed if the spirit of the people, the very people you represent, do not back you. It's very difficult. It's almost as if a child who has, excuse me to say, been cursed by his parents or his father, who doesn't have favor, you need to go back and plead with your father, your mother, your parents for forgiveness and for blessings, and then you move forward. You don't have the blessings of the people because they've given you the rope. They've given you the mileage. They've compromised. Oh, let's try again. Let's sack the coach. Let's bring a new coach. We've tried everything. It's not working. So maybe you need to look at yourself and say, hold on, maybe we're the problem. It might be difficult, and it is not, you know, it's un-Ghanaian or un-African for administrators and people in office to resign. It's very rare. But for the good of, or for the sake of the Black Stars, for the nation, we need to see men show leadership. And by resigning, I don't think that's calling it, that's being, what's the word to you?
A failure?
No. I don't think that's to say that...
You failed?
You failed. It's to admit that, you know what? I can't run the 100 meters. I just can't make it. Let me try 200 or 400. Or let Nats come and run because it looks like Nats might have a better time. It's just being honest. Because now, Nats, out there, go out on the streets, people have just lost confidence. They don't even want to hear about the Black Stars. And for me, that is the tragedy. That is the biggest tragedy.
We will be taking the views of a few friends who have been listening and also have varied thoughts. But let's bring in Sadiq Adams, who's the head of Angel Sports. This afternoon, we're just bringing you different generations of people who have functioned within the football ecosystem and have seen things happen at very close range and are bringing you their very very honest views. That's what we're looking at. Nobody is doing any name-calling. Nobody has any agenda whatsoever, just placing the issues as they should be. Sadiq Adams, also known as Obama, joins us for this conversation as well. Sadiq, good to see you. And look, during the look-through of the videos on social media, there's this one where we lost a chance, and you almost broke a seat. I don't know which stadium it was in.
That was in Abidjan.
That was at the last AFCON, right?
Right.
Yeah. Sadiq, look, what's been running through your mind the past couple of days? Just tell us. I mean, so much has happened. So much has happened.
Well, thank you very much, Nat. Listening to my senior brother and colleague, Yaron Bofo Ankrah, he's basically gone through what there needs to be said. Nothing has been left unsaid. In my opinion, we knew where this was going. Nobody around the football ecosystem, nobody within the industry with keen following and interest will say they never envisaged that we will ever get here. As bad as this and as sad as we have all witnessed, it was coming. There was no way that you, Nats, or Yao, or anybody else, they didn't know that the Black Stars will get here, because it's a combination of bad decisions, reckless leadership, and of course, deliberate sense of being a disorganized system. And we do that so that a few people will benefit from the rot that's been created. I am sure that people don't want to accept responsibility. People who have created the mess want to pretend and appear as if they don't know what they've done. And so when I read the Ghana Football Association statement this morning, it's quite ridiculous to say they are meeting stakeholders. Who are the stakeholders? Of course, I was part of a group of journalists and individuals, concerned individuals, who raised the alarm 7-8 months ago, went to the extent of hitting the streets. I don't remember the last time in any African country that football journalists and fans hit the streets because they were sounding an alarm that we are getting to a point where we have never, ever gotten to. And the people in football said they are the football people and they are the only people who can bring football back on track. And they made, excuse my words, nonsense of the protest. They make nonsense of whatever decisions or opinions or convictions anybody shares.
Sadiq, before you go on, I'd like to have an idea. I'd like everyone to have an idea of the kinds of reactions that you got, especially in the background, the phone calls, the text messages, and all, after, you know, that protest, which was very heavily covered by the media. Tell us about it.
Well, it's been very, very difficult moment for me and for the people who participated. Perhaps you know, but maybe one of the first time we were threatened. There were people who threatened, sent messages to us that we have drawn the battle lines by going to hit the streets and drawing attention to the ills in our game. We never insulted anybody. But the months after the protest, the weeks before, the months after, and we have kept on blocking people on social media and numbers. There are some that we have reported to security agencies. There was a time that a lady amongst us was chased, and people said they were going to raid her because she was, there were words that I cannot.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, you can call Veronica Comey. There are issues that we don't want to discuss, but I am telling you that football at this point has become a property for a few, because if what we did, the protests we went on, the items that we put on paper as petition, including calling on government to remove taxes on football equipment that have been imported, the taxes on the clubs, creative arts have 3%. There is 17.5% on football matching. These are things that we sent to Parliament. And there were people in football, people around the PFA presidency who came after us. There were times that we could not stay at home. People said we should not stay at home. We were told by security people that don't stay at home. And these are not things that I'm just performing. Because people within your radio station or media house have been beaten. There are people who have been beaten physically for threatening the FA or for speaking against the FA. There are people who have been threatened for speaking against the FA. So I'm not trying to fabricate. We have evidence to it. So when they say today that after all that they did, hired their henchmen, trying to attack coaches in Ivory Coast, attack journalists in USA, in Ghana, at the stadium, there are people who have been threatened not to come to the stadium, including myself. Why do you say you have a stakeholders now after what was to be prevented has happened? Something that has never happened in the last 20 years and not winning a game, single game in six. Don't let us reduce the conversation, Nat, to the Black Stars. The rot starts from the very basics, the junior national teams, people who have been strategically put there to select players who belong to a particular camp of the association. The politicization of our game, winner takes all. Football is a team sport, but there are people who have been cut off because they cannot work with their enemies. When some of these comments are made and people come out to say they've been attacked or threatened, you don't have to have any doubts. The things we have gone through basically because we wanted to prevent what has happened now or what has transpired. We cannot say some of them on radio, but not. It's been very terrible and a very, very difficult moment for the participants. Of, we are still in court, though. People in the Black Stars have sued some of us because of the protests and all that. But now we are here. So why would the same people say they are coming to invite stakeholders when they know that they have put people who are not deserving of the positions in the national teams? They have put people who have never worked before to occupy positions as high as the Black Stars. When you put people who have never had any relationship with that position they are holding today, when coaches have said they don't feel the independence of working because anything that they say will be taken out of context and sent to the powers that be for them to be sacked or for them to be scolded. So you don't do this and pretend as if you don't know what the problem is. So you want somebody to come and join you as a stakeholder. Everything that will be discussed at that stakeholders meeting will not be implemented because there is a plan. There is a deliberate plan by a few group of people to take football hostage. And that is exactly what they've done.
Mm. Wow. Amazing and thoughts there. Let's now get into what Mr. Ernest Thompson raised earlier, because Mr. Ernest Thompson gave a hint, and now Sadiq Adams now has given us detail of what's been going, because Mr. Ernest Thompson spoke about having conversations in the background with some of these people and telling them, listen, we need to do this, we need to do that. And now there's the clear evidence there. Let's go into the... Mr. Thompson, I'd like us to go into this issue about the setup and how we run the Black Stars. Mm. So there is a management committee. It's been a conversation that we've had over and over again. Now it's been scrapped. So then it means that all the advocacy that was done earlier from the public, from the media and all of that had a certain grounding. You've worked within the management committee before. Going forward, does the Black Stars lose anything if we don't have a management committee?
Okay, thank you very much, Nat. Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can. I can hear you. We can all
hear you.
Hello,
Nat.
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
I mean, let me put everything in context. The concept of committees is and was not limited only to the Black Stars. When you go into the rules of the association, it made rooms for committees. Now, what were these committees supposed to do? right?
Yeah.
They were like coordinating bodies to liaise between the technical team and the FA Executive Committee. Because you can't have the FA Executive Committee always meeting the technical team. So during our time, and the years I served on the committee, the choice of people to the committee was well done. Again, I'm not saying the current one has not been well done. The committee was not chaired by Kwesi Nyantichi. It was chaired by George Efuye. And I had others, we had others like, Fred, you know, J.Y. Appiah.
Mm. Yes, Mr. J.Y. Appiah, yeah. Former Galka chairman. Yeah.
You know, Abu Alhassan.
Yes.
Right. Then there was Bamson Sickens.
Yes. Mr. Kwame Vosubamfo. Yes.
Vosubamfo. You look at the heavyweights I'm calling. Then there were the coaches, the technical director, Ote Akinte, joins us. And then the coaches will also join us. And then the medical team also joins us. It is therefore like a coordinating body to coordinate affairs for the national team. Where there were issues or problems, at times we invited the players. Asamoah would testify to that.
Yep.
We invite the senior players, sit down with them and listen to them. I think we had one old former footballer also on the thing. I don't know what has happened now and they want to disband it. But let me put this straight. We were not there to go and do selection for a coach. What we did was that when we met, and we don't meet often, because this national team is not a football club playing football every Sunday. When we had qualifying series, and the national team plays qualifying series and plays tournaments. So when we had qualifying series, we will meet. What happens is this. Alex, will give us a briefing on all preparations being done for a match, accommodation, players who have been invited, and the rest, tickets which have been bought, any problems. That is what the management is about. The technical team will meet us and also present their program. They will tell us the players they've invited and at times tell us why they invited A and why they didn't invite B. I can tell you on authority, and that is one problem I'm having with football. There are a lot of folks talking there, but they've not had the chance to be inside. So they don't know much about what was happening. There was an instance during the time of Abraham Grant, and I'm telling you everything today.
Sure.
When he decided to drop Kwasi, do you remember that issue?
Exactly.
So I remember Sickens asking him, why do you want to drop him? Justify it. Just justify it for us. He gave his reasons. We held a meeting. After the meeting, we were not too convinced. He was then staying at Alisa. So we decided that the next day, we'll meet him there again to convince us. He managed to convince us and we dropped it. Now, Kwesi Appiah. Remember, and people talk a lot these days without knowing a lot.
Yeah.
At a point in time, Kwesi Appiah had problems with Andrea Ayew, Jordan Ayew, and Wakaso. You remember that incident?
Andrea Ayew, Jordan Ayew, and Mubarak Wakaso.
Yeah. And Wakaso. Go back to history. He wanted to drop them. He said, yeah, drop them. I'm telling you the truth now. We said, look, because of Jordan and Andrea, and particularly his, their father, Bedi, who is an icon, if he had problems with them about things in the team, we plead with him to go and see Abedi and speak to Abedi. Because you can't treat Abedi's children that way. and let the father know if the father can intervene. It took Alhaji Haas, who we called him, to also go and speak to the boys about the concerns of Pisa Apia. Later on, Pisa Apia agreed, brought them in, and they came to save the team. So a lot of things happens at the management committee level. You can check all this from George Efie. So the management team does a good work, provided they stay within the purview of their work. When a Black Star coach is to be appointed, and I sat in the meeting which appointed Peter Apia, we invited the late GFA chairman, the great coach who came to sit inside, the one who drew the five-year development plan.
Ben Kofi, God bless his soul, Ben Kofi.
Ben Kofi sat in the meeting. It was a hectic meeting. Should we appoint Pesi Apia or not? Because Pesi was quite young and coming up. Ben Kofi convinced us that we should give it to Pesi Apia. And they give us reasons. Now, let me also add something to it. After a match, when we meet, the technical team, and most of the time, it was either Pesi Apia or Abraham Grant or Milo, they will present to the management committee a technical report on the match. And on the committee were former players and also coaches and technical directors like Oti Akente. And they explained to us what happened in the match, how the opponents played, what went wrong, and what he thinks, the coach thinks is wrong. These reports have a lot. Some of them, in the case of Milo or Abraham Grant, as diagrams showing the movement of the players on the team, those who were not disciplined, and why we lost. So I'm saying that the management committee was formed for a reason. If however there's a problem now, and the reasons are that they are not needed again, so be it, because structures are never permanent. Structures change over a period of time, and the committees were just like structures. I would not know, as at now, what would be the consequences of doing away with the management committee. Is it about personalities? And I want to tackle that personalities issue. If some people are saying now that we are down, some of them should also take responsibility for what is happening now. I have problems with some of the media guys in sports. They themselves are divided. And there are, some of them are not helping us. I'm being very frank, because I'm by far senior to all of them. Some of them are also not helping at all. Let's face it, from the normalization time, through whether we should go for George Free or we should go for Kate, they themselves were divided for reasons best known to them. And that division has eaten deep into them. Into some of them. Some of them are very objective when they talk, I must admit. But some of them are also coming from that angle. Those who like Jogger Free, those who like it. Even when you go to the sports WhatsApp pages, you see that. So some of them have also not been helpful. My plea to them is that they should take objective positions on issues. Of course, some of them have been victims of acts and omissions of some of the FA this thing, and they are peeved because they've been around for some time. But I must say that some of them have not helped the process. The same way that some of them argue that FA people go and appoint their own people there, the same way they themselves have also taken entrenched positions and will not listen to anything because their position is that we want this one. We don't want this man. This man did this to us, and this man did this to that. I'm being very frank with you, Nats. Yeah. They are also, some of them, not all of them, are also part of the problem we are having. Now, Nats, what is the problem? I'll go very straight to it, and I'm telling you my peace of mind. The problem is that we fought it in the appointment of the technical team over a period of years. Some of these things are also due to pressure from above. I'm telling you the truth.
All right. By pressure from above, what exactly do we mean? Pressure from government? Pressure from where? From the leadership of the
My friend, Nat, if we decide to play that kind of hostile game, we won't solve this problem. I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah, when Uncle Ernest, I said
people don't want to talk about it. The media may talk it. They know it. At times, there's pressure from above.
Okay.
As to who we want.
Okay.
As a coach.
So there's pressure from government sometimes. There's pressure from the FA leadership.
There's pressure from government.
Yes. Very well. Very well.
And it's not only under this government. From Yeti Mensah's time. You remember when we appointed Barreto?
Yeah. Mariano Barreto. Yes.
Yes. I confronted Yeti and said, Yeti, why Barreto? He said, look, that's what we want. I'm not trying to come into your work as FA, but I'm intervening as the sports minister. Some of these appointments, again, are beyond those people sitting there as FA. All this go and do interview and the rest. Some they are mere rules. No, let's face it.
Yeah.
Look, I'm past that stage where I have to tell lies. When we're going to the worker. One of the workers, and we did a send off at the state house. Some of the players came to us and said, are you sure this is the coach we are going to with? And we told them, this is what they said they want. So we have to go with them. So this appointment of coaches and the rest, and not take it from me. Anytime we've appointed coaches, and the coaches are appointed due to interference, that coach doesn't do well. Go and investigate and see. Because he's given the job on a silver platter. Go and investigate. And off air, I can tell you, coaches were appointed that there was a lot of instructions from above. The current problem is only twofold. As for issue whether they should change, people are going around and they are using English words, change. If you want somebody to be changed, if you want Keto Kreku to change, say it. And then stop this going around things and the rest. Using nice English and the rest. For me, the problem is twofold. We have a bad technical team. They are not up to the task if they are to lead us in the next 5 years. Because Ghanaians don't have patience to wait for a coach who is young and is learning. Otto Addo has done his best. At times, you promote people to their level of competence. Beyond that, they can't do much. Again, he's done his best. And I think at this stage, he and his technical team should go. Number two, that team you are calling the Blasters, it's not a team. The current is not a team. It's a group of individuals which are very, very conflictual. There's so much conflict in that team. The kind of things you hear and Ed and the rest, they should take responsibility for keeping things to themselves. There's spiritualism in that team. There's conflict in that team. They only come and stand on the pitch to behave as if they are together. It is not a football team we have there. You have a group of individuals who are highly conflicted. Ask yourself, and if you're experienced in football, why would 8 players tell you they are not available? Simply because a coach, the captain, has been given back to Jordan. There's a problem there. Don't come and tell me that they are not available because they are injured. No. Because they are divided. When it's Kudus, some people would like to play. And play well. When it's Jordan, there's a problem. Why would Juku not come and play? And then the next time, you see him playing. Why would the whole captain, Patrick, say he's ill the next time he's playing? Because I know the rules. the rules is that if he's injured, you can summon that, you can say that he should be brought back to be taken a look at, isn't it? But yeah. When he says he's ill and he can't sit in the plane, there isn't much you can do. Of course, what is happening now is that the season in Europe is very tight because they are playing the European Cup and the league. So the coaches are afraid of their players getting injured, especially the African players who are coming to play on all types of pitches. So they put pressure also on the players not to come. But the European players, although they also are playing the league and have a tight schedule because their countries are playing, they go back to play for their countries. So you see Ronaldo still playing for Portugal, you see Bruno still playing. But despite this problem, this team is a beleaguered team. It's a divided team. The only way out, whether you change Okraku or you bring a free, is to dissolve that old team and form a new one. And say bye-bye to some of them there. They've done their best. When you start the team again with a new technical team, this team will rise. That's why I said there's light at the end of the tunnel. Whether it will be done by Keto Kreku or Free and the rest, I wouldn't go into that. I will leave that for whatever stakeholders meeting they are going to call so that they will speak. Mm-hmm. I think let's give them the benefit of the doubt and let them call the meeting. You see, meetings of this nature at this stage are also important because we want to listen to what is it that they are coming to tell us. If you don't call it, you lose an opportunity. And it's been done before when we had problems. Alhaji Jaula called such a meeting. Present was Adekuka, Abraham Labi, and the rest. And we listened to the media men. We listened to their concerns. I think they were then led by Joe Agri. You remember Joe Agri?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Yes.
Became a deputy minister. Yes, former editor of Graphic and
sports writers.
Yes. And we listened to them, what their concerns are, and we decided to flow with them. So give them the chance to call the meeting. Don't stop a management from calling a meeting because you say, after what are they going to say? We all know the problems. What you know might be different from what somebody also knows. So give them the chance. I don't know why they spoke first and said to hold the meeting. But let's take a cool. Let them have the meeting on 28th. It should be a no hold bad meeting. Everybody should go and speak his peace of mind there. Then we know how to go ahead. So to just summarize what I said the problem is twofold. We have a technical team which is not up to the task. And let me expand on that, because I led the team. We did the negotiations with GMPC. What we did was that, and I praise Pesinyan Tichi for that, he saw that we had problems about raising enough money to take care of the technical team, that is to employ a high-level technical team. Mr. Ato Ahoy was then chairman of GMPC. So we approached him in his house that we wanted to follow the South African model. Because the South African oil company had then done a loss for Bayana, who under normal circumstance could not even play the Black Queens. So we said, we want GMPC to come and assist. Mr. Ato Ahoy is a high-level football person. He got Alex Mode, convinced him, and then we formed a team. We met at GMPC.
Yes, and Alex Mode at the time was the CEO of GMPC.
For GMPC.
Very well.
So GMPC then took over the remunerations of the technical team. And that is how we brought in the high-level foreign coaches who came and changed the team. So there are issues there. It's not enough to say, go and change A, go and change B. If you change A and B, but you bring people in who can solve the problems from the fundamentals, we'll still be where we are. What I'm saying is that maybe, I remember when after an election, Parliament came in and was asking why GMPC using its money on Black Stars and the rest. And I told some of the parliamentarians who spoke to me that, look, that model, Ghana, to go all the way to the worker, because everything was taken from the perspective from the hands of the ministry when it came to remuneration. If you want a high-level technical team to lead this team, not a coach that we have now, who when the team is playing, you saw what happened. And I'm being very, very factual. Look at all our matches under the young coach Otuadu. No combination play. Look at the gap between the defense and the attack. He cannot vary the game. He kept on using Kudus at number 10. And everything knew that he was a live wire. So the Angolans, when you speak to the Angolans and the Nigerians, they will tell you that all that we have to do is to make sure that so far as Kudus is playing in the middle, when he gets the ball, we'll drag him down and foul him. You saw that happening in the match. Didn't you see it, Nat?
Yes, we did.
You saw it. The boy couldn't play. He became frustrated. It was seen by West Ham. So they decided to shift him to the right side, playing like the traditional number 7, like Messi, cutting in. Put Kudus in the middle forever, and this team will not play well. Because the team even loses balance when he's playing in the middle. Because he's a good dribbler, but he will lose the ball, and he cannot recover. I was surprised that even against Niger, he allowed Kudus to play, because there was nothing at stake. You should have dropped the boy, because his mind is frustrated. He's gone through a lot. And should have given others a chance. That's why I say that the technical team we have now, I'm not a coach, but they are not up to the task. They've done what they can do. They've reached their level of competency. Please let them go.
Let them go.
Go for a high-level technical team. You need money. Government may not have that money. So let's sit down. Football is the only thing which unites us. We have huge companies here, good public institutions who do a lot of social activities. Let them bring together and let them take over the remunerations of the new technical team, which should be a high-level technical team. Fortunately, not. We have time. We have time, because we've done that in football for years. We are in November. Use December to go through the process. Get a coach in by January. January, February, you can get a team of players ready for match. Because this team is even not coming to meet now. It's not a football team playing every Sunday. They will only come in getting to a few days to match. So I'm saying that check the technical team. Number two, that team should be disbanded. You see, when you say Ghanaians are down and you're a manager, you give the Ghanaians hope. If I'm in charge, one of the ways I'll give them hope will be I'll disband this team and select another team. That does not mean that some of the current players will not form part of the new team. Some of them. But some of them there, their presence is creating problems in the team. And I know how DFA members travel out of the country to go and meet them outside to discuss things with them. A lot of things they've been doing, they've kept it to themselves, yet it's not working. Of course, but on easy lies the head that wears the crown. And when you're on top and something happens, you'll be held responsible. So I understand the media men who are holding Kate and the rest responsible. It is for them, Kate and the rest, to sit down and decide that, look, I still want to continue. Give me a chance to continue. I can change it. Or I cannot, and I want to go. I don't want to go into that. Because, you see, unfortunately for us, there's a procedure for electing the FA executive.
Exactly.
If you go and do something illegal, you run into problems. And that will make things more complex for us. We have to go through the legal procedure. And if government decides to come and dissolve them, you know that we run into problems with FIFA. So those who are speaking, they should also bear in mind the laws and the rest. I know some of the media men are peeved, but some of them are peeved for good reasons, and some of them are peeved because of their personal issues they have with some of the people there. And they themselves are divided. Maybe the Sports Writers Association will also have to sit down now, engage the FA, and also let them know what their feelings are and what ought to be done, so that we all come together as one to save the team. That is what I'm saying. But the team you have there, Nat, this team is not a football team.
Okay.
I don't want to say a lot of things.
Yeah. You've said quite a lot, Mr. Ernest Thompson, and you've raised some very key points which would like to build on. So to Yao and Sadiq, Mr. Ernest Thompson has raised an issue about their use. And you see, we cannot pretend, like Mr. Ernest Thompson has said, we have to stop pretending and we have to face the issues the way they are. If you want to talk about the Black Stars now or the Black Stars over the last, two and a half decades, the IU factor is a major factor.
Absolutely.
And so it has to be discussed.
Absolutely.
Now, we get that indication here that, number one, the issue of leadership in the team, which has also had a very long, history of problems, is a problem as we speak. Now the IUs find themselves entangled in it. There's division in the team as well.
Mm.
And also we've learned something from him that when a legend of the team has paid his dues, the way Anabidi Pele has paid his dues, you have to watch the way you treat issues around him.
Absolutely.
Just like the French have done with Michel Platini when Absolutely. The corruption scandal
came Yeah, up. And I'll start on that point, you know, with the captaincy.
Mm.
Andre Ayew, whether you like him as a player or whatever it is, he's had good times, he's had bad times. Don't forget, he's a World Cup winner at under 20 level. The manner in which he was treated with the captaincy clearly shows you management bankruptcy, especially with the history that we have. Abedi Ayew Pele succeeded in Akwasi Appiah. There was a problem. It brought factions into the team. At the time, social media was not that strong. So unless you talk to the players after they've retired one-on-one, and then they may give you an insight as to what really happened. Beyond that, Siki Akono coming in to take over as captain, not much controversy. He had the blessings of Abedi Pele. Stephen Appiah coming in. And when Stephen Appiah came in, this is somebody who, once he got the captaincy, he had people around him who advised him that you need to go and see certain stakeholders to get your blessings, because being the captain of the Black Stars is not an easy responsibility. And so Stephen Appiah went to see various people, whether it's the Garmanche or the Chief Imam or Archbishop Duncan Williams or, you know, President Kufuor, whoever it was, to get their blessings because of the task ahead. And we saw Stephen Appiah as captain of the Black Stars qualifying, or being ahead, qualifying the Black Stars to its first ever World Cup in Germany.
But he was announced in the dressing room. He asked the question, which I believe was the game changer for him, because he immediately referred to Richard Kingston, who was then the most capped player, the senior most player at the time. And he asked Coach Giuseppe Dossena, hey, but...
My senior player
is here. And Richard Kingston then tapped him on the shoulder and said,
you have my blessings.
You have my blessing. Take it. I'll support you.
You've summed it up. What you've just said not just sums up the captaincy. It sums up the playing body, the management, the technical team. What Kerto Kriku doesn't realize is that when we criticize, we don't criticize so that he fails. We criticize so that he takes a bigger look at the picture and says, okay, this is maybe what I'm not doing right. I need to go and do it this way. Let me listen to other stakeholders. And I agree with Mr. Ernest Thompson that, okay, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's meet again. But if the people, Ghanaians, are talking, for want of a better word, are even cursing the team, that's a bad sign. If the captain, for any reason, feels aggrieved that, you know, why are you taking the captaincy from me when you've not explained it to me that, you know what, I want to give Asamoah Gyan the captaincy, or I want to give Didi Ayew the captaincy. Call the players. This is what it is. We've had a meeting, and I believe that Kudus can be the next captain. It's not because you're not doing well. We want to go forward. This is how we think Kudus would bring out the best in his game. Tell Jordan Ayew. He may not like it, but Jordan says, okay, if this is for the team, I'm for it. Let's go. It's about the Black Stars. But when you tell Jordan you're the captain, and then in the morning of the on the morning of the match, he finds out he's not the captain without that communication. How do you feel? How do you think the player would feel? And he may have a good relationship with Kudus up until that point. And the innocent players now at loggerheads. Who's supposed to take and manage those decisions? The coach, the technical team, the manager.
But I also expect quite a bit from the players, because if you ask me, I'll tell you that I thought it was a bit of a rushed decision for Kudus personally to have taken up the number 10 jersey, because as an individual, he has the right to you know, stay with his number 20, the regular number 20 that we know him for. And even the captaincy. Of course, there is nothing wrong with aspiring to lead the team, but I thought that it was one moment too early by Coach Otuado to have taken that decision on him. Because Yao, wearing the number 10 jersey of all the jerseys in not only the Black Stars team, it's a completely different ballgame psychologically.
It's a big issue. You need
and
to be prepared.
The captain's armband as well.
Yes, and it goes back to what you just said about Richard Kingston and Stephen Appiah.
Yeah.
Anyemi, Charlie, take it. And Richard Kingston would also be looking back and thinking, you know what? Stephen has the factor.
Yeah.
Right? At this time, he's playing his best. He's loved by all of us. He's respected by all of us. He's loved by the fans. He's loved by the media. I think Stephen would actually be a better captain, and that would help me, Olele, to focus on my game.
Exactly.
And there was no...
Exactly, Al.
Conflict, no rivalry. And Stephen Appiah did something that a few of us had the privilege of seeing. As a captain, he made every player feel important.
And involved.
Yes, and he did it in a very unassuming manner. So Michael Essien did not feel threatened by Stephen Appiah being the captain, even if Michael at the time was also bigger. Growing.
Mm.
Muntari didn't have a problem, as you've just told us. Richard Olele Kingston, Asamoah Gyan coming up. So the younger players, the older players, all these players came together and they supported Stephen Appiah. And players, mind you, as we know, when they support you, it's not just word of mouth.
And Yao, before you make your next point,
right,
I think it's a good time to also celebrate some of the big moments in our history.
Mm.
I had the privilege of being master of ceremony when we had the celebratory dinner, testimonial dinner for Stephen Appiah at the banquet hall some years ago. And Mr. Ernest Thompson, I must say, you know, he got emotional and spoke for about 30 minutes.
It's normal.
But we need to celebrate that, because
absolutely,
had it not been for one decision
that
Mr. Ernest Thompson took back in 1995, we probably wouldn't have gotten a Stephen Appiah. And that was as the team, the Black Starlets team of the time, was traveling to Ecuador to play in the World Cup.
Right.
That was a pivotal moment.
Right.
And Stephen has always spoken about that moment with a lot of emotion. And we need to salute you, sir, for that decision and that belief in Stephen Appiah. Because at the time, in 1995, Stephen Appiah was not necessarily, you know, one of the guys who were...
And that's what he said.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Nat, thank you very much for reminding me of that day. there's something about Stephen Appiah.
Yeah.
I think he was born to become a leader.
Olele saw it.
Yeah.
No, I said Stephen Appiah.
Yeah, and Olele, Richard Olele saw it.
He didn't challenge it.
Yeah.
Maybe Olele saw it.
Yeah.
Because we left Stephen Appiah here and took the team going to Ecuador to Germany to train. I will not agree.
Good.
I said, no way. I was on the FE. I drove in the evening to Alhaji Jawale's house. Jawale said, Ernest, are you sure? I said, look, this boy, you can't leave him. I was then going to Germany to go and negotiate the transfer of Christian Saba.
Bayern Munich.
And then their captain of that team, they used to call him Deportee. I forgot his name.
Yeah.
He came from Mokwe.
Emmanuel Bento. Emmanuel Bento,
I was then leaving later on to go and negotiate with Bayern. Fortunately, they were in Germany under the auspices of Bayern and Coach Adi. And they didn't know. So I took Stephen to the airport, took him, I got to Germany, and handed him over to Adi. Adi said, who they said you should bring him? I said, we decided that he's coming to 20. The first day he prayed, the German, the Bayern, had a general manager called Uli Hens. I think you remember that name.
Right,
yeah, Uli Hens.
He looked at the boy and said, where is this boy from? Unfortunately, at the time he was going, Udinese had seen House of Oak already. So we told Bayern, you can't have him. You can only have Christian Saba. From there to Ecuador. And then he came back to lead the nation to the World Cup. But there's something about Steven. His love, because Steven is very respectful. I think you all know it.
Yeah. Yes.
Look at him when he sees you.
Yeah.
And the way he talks to you. His commitment is very high. His commitment is just like Asamoah. Asamoah, these are the things which are missing in the team now, as you are supposed to think. You see, that togetherness, the team as it stands now, is divided. It's divided. We don't have the team. The spirit is not there for them to play. When the coach said it, there's no intensity. They're not playing. They're only there doing something. Right. Look, Asamoah, I always hold Asamoah in high esteem. At a meeting of the management team with them, there was an issue about bonus. And Asamoah told us that he, Asamoah, is looking for a higher bonus for the players, not because he needs money, but it's not all the players who are earning as much as him. And then there was a match that we had to go away, I think Angola or something, and he got injured. He couldn't go. We called Steven, we called Asamoah, that is the captain. And he said, look, I'll go with the team, although I can't play. And he accompanied the team. And they played.
One good project.
Let's remember that at the World Cup, on Milo, Steven Appiah and Mutari were reserves. Am I right?
In South Africa.
That match, South Africa, sorry.
Yeah, in South Africa.
Reserves. The match that Uruguay, Asamoah played the penalty and it hit the post.
Steven's header, right, or shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, Steven was not part of the first 11. Yeah, although he was a captain of the
team. He created.
He was on the bench.
Yeah.
You see, they were willing to fight for the team and they were together. This is the point I'm making, that this team that we have there is divided and it has been made worse by the decision-making process which were taken as Yao. The whole change, even from give the captain to Kudus and the rest, was not managed well. It wasn't managed well. And I pointed out to one of them that, did you manage the process very well? Knowing very well that you have had a problem with Andre and you've left him and Jordan is there. Did you manage it well? They didn't manage it well. And some of them admitted that maybe they should have done more than what they did. Before now, the coach now had to bring it back to Jordan. But if the coach was a strong coach like Dunsatukwefio, Osam Dodu, and FEA, and Afani, you dare not go and tell him what he should do. There were times when we came in, they would tell us, look, this is our team. Leave the team for us. We will take our own decisions on the place.
And if so I can...
you were saying, yeah.
Yes, Fred, so there's a gamut of so many problems there.
Right.
Right.
Fred,
that is why I said, that's why I said, I would like to listen to them on 28th. What they are coming to tell us. If they come and they tell us everything, then we can take a decision on the way forward, so far as the FA executive itself is concerned.
That's but fair.
You were making a point just before we bring Sadiq in.
So you look at the fact that if maybe Otto Addo, let's pardon Otto Addo, maybe he does not have the institutional memory as you have, even as a journalist, as legal practitioner, sports administrator, Mr. Ernest Thompson has. The job of the management team is to say that, okay, Otto, if you want to change the captaincy, look, mind you, we have a history where this thing can create problems, not just within the team, but even Ghanaians become divided. Think about it carefully. If it's your call, make sure you know what you're doing. And I think this is where Kato Kriku and the rest can say that, you know what, this doesn't sit well. Institutional memory. We've had this with Abedi Pele and Kwesi Appiah, with Tony Bafo, Tony Yeboah on the periphery. Siki Akuno, we didn't have that because he had the blessings of Abedi. We had issues with Asamoah and Dede Ayew. Do we want to do this again? Kudus and Jordan Ayew.
And this is not only a Ghanaian problem. I always refer to the Cameroon example. And I always say that it's a big, it's a big miracle that we saw Eto and Rigobert Song eventually team up and do the FA presidency and the leadership
when they had so many big characters.
Because the transition between Rigobert Song and Eto was also not smooth. And at the point, they were sworn enemies.
And it became a national issue where people were on this side and that side. And this is what we have now. And Kudus, granted, he's a kid in terms of football experience. Yes, he went to the World Cup, he did well, but it's different. He doesn't have that experience before Dede Ayew was made the captain in terms of, you know, Dede is coming from a football dynasty. His father would have sat him down and told him the ABCD. Asamoah Gyan, as we've just heard. Stephen Appiah. These guys are ghetto boys who knew exactly how to handle it. And you rightly said, he went to Olele, you know, this is my big brother. You know, he should be the captain. No, 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 you are the captain. And that goes back to the point Ernest Thompson is raising. They could see that leadership thing in Stephen Appiah. He was blessed to be a leader. And sometimes coaches can see it, but sometimes they can also miss it. So those around them are supposed to help in that decision-making. So now, if Otto Addo continues as coach, he needs to mend all these things, convince these players that, look, I made mistakes. I'm sorry. I'm ready to go again. I've learned from my mistakes, and I'm ready to go again for the World Cup. If you don't have that, are you bringing in new players to go for the World Cup qualifiers? You need experienced players as well. You need their loyalty. Mm. You need their commitment. And all these players are coming from a constituency of the spiritual side. Let's back the team. Let's back the captain. Let's back the coach. Let's back the GFA president. You can't have that when you're divided. It won't work. So for me, we will gamble with the World Cup qualifiers if we do not do the right thing. That's my case. So the FA going for a retreat and talking is a talk shop for me. That's my personal opinion. Today, now, they can take a decision and let's move forward. Yes, we have until March, but we don't have time. Yes. We might think we have time, but how many friendly matches are we going to have before the World Cup qualifiers in March? We are in a very precarious situation now.
We are in a very precarious situation indeed. This is the Joy Sports Link on Joy 99.7 FM and also streaming live on YouTube and also on Prime Take on the Joy Prime channel. Here with us are Mr. Ernest Thompson, a seasoned legal practitioner, former Director General of SNET, former Board Chairman of Accra, Board Secretary of Accra Hearts of Oak, and a former member of the management committees of the Black Stars teams, having served on various other committees within the Ghana FA and knowing the football terrain very, very well. Also, Yan Pofankra, a seasoned journalist, has worked with every major media house in this country, followed the Black Stars around the world, and is bringing that experience to the table. Sadiq Obama, Sadiq Adams, also known as Obama, is the head of Angel Sport, has been given many accolades, including the Journalist of the Year by the GJ. And also of swag, also has followed the national team quite closely and did something very significant together with some journalists some months ago, which drew national attention, going on a protest, one that we're not very used to for football, and sending a message to the Ghana FA about reforms that are needed. We'll be taking some of your thoughts very, very shortly. I think it's a good time to do that. Let's quickly take some of the thoughts that we gathered about how you feel about all of this, where you are also coming from, and what you feel should be done as a matter of urgency. So we quickly rehash, because just as Yao Ampofankra has said, March may be some months away, but we do not exactly have time.
Regarding the Blasters, I think the problem starts from the fact that you have not been able to graduate players from under 17 to under 20 to under 23 like you used to do. But I recall it, Dede, who was the captain of the under 20 team at the time, and he won the World Cup, ended up with a number of his colleagues with the Blasters. So which means that they had been playing together for many, many, many years, and therefore they knew each other's strengths and weaknesses. And there was some coercion because they knew how each other played. Unfortunately, we have a crop of players in the Blasters now who have not had opportunity to have played together until they were called to the Blasters. So, and to make it worse, they come to the Blasters camp maybe 3 or 4 days before a match. And that is not enough to be able to help players, you know, play cohesively.
Joseph Inko is my name, and I'm somebody who always believe that failure teaches success. So now that the Black Stars have failed us drastically, now that they have failed us beyond boundaries, beyond expectations, I can only sit back and advise that we should take stock of all the activities that has transpired in the Ghana Football Association that has led us into this mess. We should be able to take stock to find out the root cause of our problems. For instance, from the playing body, we should be able to find out why a player or two would want to be given the captain's handband before he plays his heart out, before he scores for Ghana Stars for us to win. We should be able to find out why there are rumors that most of the Black Star players are being managed by the Exco, that's the Executive Council members. Is it true or false? We should be able to find out why there is no unity among the football people in the association. We should be able to find out, because together we stand, divided we fall. Together we stand, divided we fall. We should be able to find out why there is no unity. Is it true or false? We should also be able to find out why the FA is not able to find a sponsorship package that will support the Ministry of Youth and Sports to go in for a world-class coach who will be able to transform our game for us.
But I think, like most of us Ghanaians right now, we're completely numb about what is going on with the Black Stars, how low we've come. But you know, something I find interesting is I really love Facebook memories, because I keep getting reminders of things that we've been saying and our consistent story about the deterioration of our football team in the last decade, really, which tells you that what is happening is not new, but I think we've hit a new low. Being the optimist I am, my hope is that as we've hit the rock bottom, the only way is up. But how do we get there? I completely insist. My opinion is that it is not about the players. It is about the management, because in leadership, you know that your team is as strong as its leader and as strong as its weakest link, which the leader can bring up. And so for me, I look at it as a whole, and I really think there is something that the Ghana Football Association needs to take a look at. There needs to be a complete systematic review of our Ghana Football Association vis-a-vis the senior national team, the Black Stars. Because I also remember when we were so embarrassingly kicked out of the AFCON, immediately our players went back to their clubs and were scoring goals, were playing very well. People that we single out and name as the problems are going back to their teams and their stars. So really ask yourself what's going on. Yes, you can say that it's partly the players' fault and they are not giving their all, but really, is it all 11 people or all 25 chosen who are the ones who are not giving their all? A lot of them we see come in blood and sweat and tears and give their all to their country. And it's embarrassing for them. So that's why I don't focus on the players, because I think that like anybody else, they want to win. We all want to win. And so when you put them in positions that don't allow them to play in their roles or don't allow them to give off their best as they're able to do in their team, don't get the coaching that is needed, the support that is needed to get this done, you can put together all the best 11 around the world and you will still lose. So here we are, what do we do? I really think GFA needs to take an introspective look at themselves. all the things we hear on the sidelines around the issues with player buying and all of this stuff, it's time to end. It is really like, I'll be honest, Nathaniel knows I said this to him. I said, I don't even know what to say because I'm completely numb.
While there's a place and an argument that the FA should go, and it should go, but we both know they're not going to go. They're not going to go anywhere. Nobody resigns in Ghana. And sometimes in life, what you need immediately is food when you're hungry or when you're injured. You just need a band-aid. So whilst there's that argument for a relook at the entire football structure, what our immediate problem is and what we need to do immediately is to fire Otto Addo. I don't know why we are belaboring the point. No coach from the Siki Akunos to Milo to what's the last coach's name again? Chris, none of these even came close in terms of their win percentage, as in they didn't have such a bad record compared to Otto Addo. And yet we are overthinking it. He has to go. We cite other examples of giving coaches time, but you give time to coaches who have shown you that they have promise and they have potential. If I ask you today, what is our playing style? Nobody knows. It's always like a try and error. Beyond his tactical management, his man management has been atrocious. Look at what he's done to Kudus. His maturity is so much in question. Look at the way he answers questions. This is a man who is not qualified to coach a national team. And instead of being grateful for the opportunity to enrich his CV and do well and do something decent with Ghana, he's so arrogant, and yet you're not producing on the field. So yes, the Black Stars are not our favorite team at the moment. The brand is at...
Most of your inputs are going to focus on the technical aspect of the game. So I think you would permit me to drift a bit. You know, when Ghana was beaten by Sudan, I was at home and I watched the match on GTV. Then my son returned from school just after the match. So when he came, he saw the TV on GTV. He knows that I'm always on these geography channels, so I'm watching Super Sport. So he was surprised to see my channel on GTV. So he asked Daddy, today, why are you watching GTV? You know, the boy is a curious boy, so you know. Then I said, oh, I was watching football. Ghana played today. He likes football a lot. So he said, oh, okay, well, who did Ghana play? And I said, oh, we played against Sudan. They said, did they beat Ghana? Then I said, why do you say that? Guess who won? Then he said, I think they beat Ghana. Then I asked him, why do you say so? He said, I always want Ghana to win, but all the time they lose. He's an 8-year-old son, which means that you can trace the period of his birth and the performance of our national team. While we were growing up, when I started actively watching football in the early 90s, we held this view that no one beats Ghana. Even when we lost, we had good reasons to find excuses for them. Oh, Algeria watered their park. Oh, the referee gave Abedipele a bad red card. They intentionally, you know, we found excuses because based on our orientation, we knew that you can't beat Ghana without having a certain advantage. The kids of today are looking at a Ghana that is performing at mediocre levels on international platforms. And guess what that is going to do to their psyche? They are not going to grow up to be proud of their country as we are. They are not going to grow up to have that sense of patriotism towards the nation, because it is difficult to love something that breaks your heart consistently. And that is what the national team is doing. That is why the current leadership have to look themselves in the face and say, look, sometimes to drive public confidence in the interest of the bigger picture, step aside, let new faces come inside to re-energize the people. Because as long as Kurt and his people are at the helm of affairs, the Ghanaian is never going to be confident in their football. And you know, sometimes we look at the players in isolation from what is happening. The players are subsets of what is happening. And so if the leadership is not inspiring, the players themselves, it affects their morale. Look, it's not that we don't have bad players. I bet you, if we are to analyze quality by quality, this is one of the fine teams we've had. For the first time, we have two good strikers. Semenyo, Iñaki Williams, and even Jordan as a supporting striker, he's a good player. We've never had that in a long time. Look at Kudus, look at Nyama, look at the Leicester boy, Fatal. Look at Jiku, we have them.
Sadiq, leadership of the team. Let me put you in a bit of a tight corner. If you had the opportunity to advise any of the coaches about management of this particular issue that we cannot run away from as a major issue in the Black Stars team, what would you have them do in this scenario where you have an Andre Ayew, who clearly is nearing the twilight of his career, playing career? He has served this nation well, and nobody can teach him any lesson about commitment. But now, the man has not left. He's not announced a retirement. And his blood brother, from the same mother and same father, is also in the team. And psychologically, they would look out for each other. Now he's not in the team. And what is supposed to go to his brother, technically, from the number of caps advantage, doesn't go to him. It creates a lot of issues. How would you advise this is managed from where you sit and from the history that we've gotten from Mr. Ernest Thompson and Jan Pofankra?
Well, thank you very much, Nat. I think that as a country with a sort of controversial history surrounding the captaincy, we should have treated it quite differently from how Utuado did. When I heard about him appointing Kudus as captain ahead of Chiku for some misconduct, and also Jordan Ayew wasn't even told. I think that's the discretion of the coach. But I felt for Kudus, not the decision, but I thought that the coach was trying to be a professional as a German trained coach, doesn't care about what is behind a jersey number and what's the background to all this, is trying to, excuse my words, make nonsense of what's the number 10 jersey and the controversies around it has been. I think it was not timely. For instance, Mohamed Kudus was trying to find his feet with club. He's been on form for the club, playing well for Ghana. But that issue of captaincy, I felt, was going to distract him, and so it did. It wasn't managed well. I spoke to some members of the management committee of the team, or some high-ranking members of the FA. And after the game, when Jordan Ayew was making some gesticulation to Garcia Pia, that it came to bear that the captaincy had been changed. The management committee were not told. According to some technical team or backroom staff members of the team, they were unaware of Otuado's decision to give the captaincy to Mohamed Kudus. So clearly, it was not well thought through. And I felt that he could have maintained after Andre Ayew, based on what we have known with our captaincy, as a member of the team, who say the person who has been in the team for quite a number of years, Otto may want to change the approach, as they say, new king, new law. So he would want to say he is building from a new block. But I think with Jordan Ayew in the team and Partey not coming, he should have stuck with Alexander Djiku as a captain, because he was quite neutral. You know, there are blocks, there are factions in the team. Like the Chief Ernest Thompson was saying, we have to be very blunt. There are factions in the team and the players are aware. So Djiku being quite neutral and being the deputy captain to Partey would have served a very good purpose. Because this captaincy and the number 10 jersey and all what surrounded it clearly distracted Kudus
and the boy was under such a big toll in the game that he captained, because there were people in the team who were surprised with the decision. The management of the team were surprised. Key members of the FA were surprised. And so the player himself will say, how then did they arrive at the decision to give me the captaincy? Not for just this game.
Well, we'll reestablish contact, with Obama. I think his emotions, so it affected his, a little bit. Okay, so we got him back, yeah.
Yes, so that I'll say that the coach did not do justice with this issue of captaincy, especially as he's been a former player. Even if he does not have the institutional memory and how controversial this thing has been to the Ghana national team in the past, I thought that he would have consulted with the management committee, and they have said on several platforms, and they have also said to people around the team that they were never told. It was a decision that came from Otuado, not even the members of the technical backroom staff of his own team were aware. I believe that he would have done a very good job for himself if this had gone to Alexander Djiku, who looks quite neutral. But then Jordan Ayew, as a senior player in the team in the absence of Partey and Co, could have been the captain, and it would have changed nothing, because we know that based on what the coaches in the past have done and playing the qualifiers where you don't have the luxury of trying to build something new, the coach erred. It was a very big error on his part, and this has gone a very long way to destabilize Mohamed Kudus further. And I don't think he should accept now to be the captain when the other players in the team, he knows that it will create some, like you mentioned about Stephen Appiah. If you know there is a player who is going to, there's be a discontent or going to sow a seed of discord with this captaincy, you need to let the players consult themselves. But the way he took the captaincy and gave to Kudus in the dressing room and say, you are now going to be the captain in the presence of Jordan and Alexander Djiku, was very erratic. And this is what I think we should have done, to let Djiku stay as the deputy captain in the absence of Partey, as you take time to consult further in appointing a long-term captain for the team.
A quick one as we wrap up on this issue of the captaincy. Now, so you have a picture that has a Jordan, because if we're to disband the national team and reconstitute, there are some faces who definitely will make a return. Jordan definitely will be in there. A Djiku definitely will be in there. A Partey definitely will be in there. A Kudus will also be in there. Now, these are players who have been given the opportunity to taste leadership. And now the mindset will be different regarding how they view it and how they approach issues around it. Mm. Now, what does it do going into the future, now that we have as many as four options in the absence of André Ayew? What does it do from where you sit?
Trust. Trust. Mm. I mean, the players must trust their captain. The coach must trust their captain, because on the pitch, he is your manager and he's your general. He's your commander-in-chief. So it's very important that you have this relationship. Sometimes outside, after the match, before the game, Stephen Appiah might pick up the phone and call other players, look, you didn't play so well. You know, I didn't want to talk about it in the dressing room. What's going on? Talk to me. You know, these things are taught, they are acquired, and they are learned. So in the conversations, Obama just made mention of the fact that Otuado erred in that decision-making. But was he guided to? What are the protocols? Did Otuado, does he know that, look, if I'm changing the captain, at least out of courtesy, I need to let the management know, my technical team, this is why I'm taking the decision. So there is clarity, there's communication, everybody is with you. But if you do that, then there's a suspicion that you might be doing this for other reasons other than footballing reasons. So for me, the experiences of these players you've mentioned, and even others who've not been given that captaincy role, means that there must be trust. Whoever is made the captain, the other players must trust him. They must be able to work with him. And like Olele showed in the dressing room, that confidence that, look, you have my trust, You have my respect, you have my love, you have my blessings. I'm with you. You need that. The captain needs it for his own peace of mind and for him to also go out there and lead, you know, from the front. So this issue of captaincy, I thought we had passed it, but it looks like we've not learned our lessons. It's a shame. It's a big shame.
Sadiq, we have an assignment in March, and we have, you know, a stakeholders conversation. Mr. Ernest Thompson says, go there, guys, you go there, and make sure that everybody is honest. If we don't, if we're not honest with ourselves at that stakeholders meeting on the 28th, it will be an exercise in futility. Now, the suggestions that we dissolve the team, the technical team, the playing body. Technical team, yes, we've been used to that, but dissolving a whole playing body, well, I don't know. I don't know where it will sit.
Well, sometimes the choice of word dissolution or dissolving may not mean that you are disbanding the entire team.
Yes,
but you do that just to create some sort of, conception that we want to
forge a new start.
We want to change the way and manner we do things. You may invite about 60-70% of the same players back, but dissolving the team, because when you dissolve a government, there are people who are jubilating, but in the end, you are going to have these key people back in government. But you say you want to chart a new path, so you have dissolved the previous team, but key players in the team with commitment that you think passes the requirement to be invited back into the team will be back. So the word dissolution to me, you've just said you want to dissolve the team. It doesn't mean that the players are not coming back. I support the call for the team to be dissolved. And so if you are invited back, you are inviting the player back on a new face, on a clean slate. This is how we are going. Anything that we used to do in the past has been thrown away. So I support the call for the dissolution, and also the technical team, the backroom staff. We have sacked coaches, 3-4 of them, and kept the inexperienced backroom staff. We have to be very careful. There are coaches who speak and say they don't feel the independence and the quiet, a good environment for working. And we know the people in the technical team, the backroom staff. There are people there who, in my opinion, do not deserve their jobs after some coaches have been sacked. And if we are going to dissolve the playing body, the first thing to do is to dissolve the technical team, the backroom staff. 6 matches without a win. We have sacked coaches for less. So no coach on the continent, not even the coach of Chad or Eswatini, will survive after going 6 games without a win. I'm not saying that Otuadu is a bad coach. We may have time for him in another role. But at this point, keeping him will be a recipe for disaster going into the World Cup. He's lost the plot. There are players who don't want to play again. And we have to look at it from that angle, that the coach came in with a lot of aura. People wanted to support him. But after 6 games and not qualifying, he's lost the plot with the players. He's lost with the spirit of the fans. He's lost it even amongst some members of the FA. We just have to do justice and start on a clean slate. The technical team, the management committee has been dissolved, but key, it will be the tech. And finally, now when the calls of the team not being unified, I think the sense of coalition has been lost because these players are called from different clubs. They don't have any affinity with the country. We have to remember that Steven Appiah, Michael Essien, John Pistel, John Mensah, these were guys who had known themselves for years from Winneba. So the trust was there. They had played in the local league. They have sat on buses. They had slept in rooms with mosquito-infested rooms. They had gone through the mill. So if one of them is appointed captain, they do not see themselves as individuals. They see themselves as a group of players who have been paid to play, represent Ghana. So that sense of patriotism, commitment, and focus was there. These are guys who are picked from Turkey, Some of them don't speak any native language. Football is culture. Some of them come in, they can't even speak to their colleague players because there is no orientation. They are invited and 2 days they are on the field playing football. If you don't have that kind of connection from the management, the orientation, you need top guns, people who understand football, to get them through the process of getting the people to bond before the field. Can't teach Michael Essien and Suleiman Tari how to bond on the field because they've done it for 10, 20 years. This is how to build a team. We are not having the unity now because Kudus comes in, Semenyo comes in, Jiku comes in. They have never played together at any level of Ghana football. The only time they are meeting is at the Black Sand. And for 2 days, they
train.
2-3 days and they hit the field. So this they train for 2 days and they are going to the field. So the connection is not there. We have to start getting some of these players if we know that we have lost the plot.
Very well.
Train players at 17. Mm. Let's get this young guys in Europe as early as possible to let them play at least 3-4 games together at under 15, under 17, under 20. Because what we are currently having, getting players from Europe to train for 2-3 days before matches, it's not team building. It's just putting individuals together. Mm. That's not a national team.
Mm. Well, in wrapping up, in the next minute, Yao, what do you want to see done so we get ourselves back on the rail?
Two quick examples.
Mm.
2006 World Cup, Ghana versus the Czech Republic, the dressing room tunnel, because Metro TV had rights, I was able to stand at a corner and see the players come through. Asamoah Gyan, Stephen Appiah, John Mensah, Suleiman Tari, Michael Essien, Olele Richard Kingston, you could see it in their eyes. He just made reference to this, that camaraderie, the brotherhood. And I felt, even though everybody felt Czech Republic would beat Ghana hands down, they hadn't. These boys were saying on that day, we will beat Czech Republic. And I could see from that tunnel onto the pitch, they would do it because they were ready to fight and die for each other. Take that also to 2014 World Cup in Brazil. I was on the tarmac.
We were there together. Yeah.
Tarmac with Super Sport because I worked with Super Sports during the World Cup, not with GFA or the ministry, as many people wrongly thought. And when the players touched down, they believed they could get to the World Cup final because they felt that after 2010, they had graduated and they had the men around them who could do that. Things didn't work out in the end, but it's very important that these players also have a say in what is going to happen. If we make that mistake, as Obama is saying, we'll be back to square one. It's very important the FA takes the right decisions now. If they don't want to take the bold decision and step back and allow others who might be able to do the job better, then they need to take the decisions now that would get us to the World Cup. Otherwise, we're gambling again.
Yao, thank you so much. And we'll give the final word to Mr. Ernest Thompson. Over the next 1 minute, your thoughts on how we should move on. I know 1 minute is very, very little time, but...
Oh, it's okay. I've spoken a lot. And that's, for me, to be optimistic, all that I'll say is that dissolve the whole technical thing.
Okay.
Between now and March is a long time to get a technical team in place. We've done that before.
Yeah.
Ismael Kuntz, he was sat at the stadium, at the airport by Iti Mensah. And we got somebody in. We start the process now. By end of January, we'll get a technical team. Bear in mind that friendly matches can only be played on FIFA free days.
Yeah.
So if there's no FIFA free days, you can't even play a friendly match and get the play. So, I mean, friendly matches and the rest that they are in. Dissolve the whole technical team. Dissolve the whole thing, not disband it. And bring some of the old players and some new players, including maybe some people from the local league into the team. But the process of doing it will show
is very important
the managerial skills of the current FA. That's why I said I would prefer to listen to them. There's a way of doing it. So I've approached the issue not only from the angle of what ought to be done, but how to do it. I'll give you free advice. One is what we gave Pesi Appiah when he had problems with Wakasu Jordan, and the two others.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if I was on the FA, I'll go and meet Abed Pili and have a frank chat with him on his two children and what he thinks is a way forward. Bear in mind that he has a lot of influence on the boys. And I know the mother has a lot of influence on them.
Yes.
And I know why I'm saying so. I wouldn't say certain things on them. Number two, get the past captains. Bring them together. We have the respected Asamoah. We are the respected, the respectful Stephen Appiah. We have John Mensah. We have the
Tony Baffo.
A lot of the past.
Yeah.
Tony Baffo and the rest. Mm. Get them together. Hold a meeting with them and ask them that, look, I want your help. You've been there before. This team coming up, I want you to meet the boys and speak to them for us. The how you go about it is not about arrogance, and it's not about somebody dictating to you.
Sure.
These are managerial skills you have to display. But remember something, one way to solve conflict in an organization is to separate certain people, take some people out of the team. When there's conflict in words. You see, that's why I said drastic decisions have to be taken.
Sure.
Right. If at the end of the day, Andre is gone, and leaving Jordan out will bring harmony, let's leave Jordan out. Let's explain to him. He will understand it. I bet he will understand it. If Kudus has to go, leave Kudus out. And I'm only making a general point. I'm not saying they should do it.
Exactly. Sure.
Yes. But finally, remember that all of us have been in football. And these boys, that's something we don't want to talk on air. They believe in a lot of spiritual things. They have people who pray for them, who tell them a lot of things. I have had an instance in Kumasi when we had to play that final match. And one of our key players said, a player has taken his boots, so he wouldn't play. We had to stay in, as Arisa Cohen there is. So the next day, because without that player, Asoko cannot have won the match. He doesn't understand why that player took his boots. Now, let me tell you something. Go with them in the dressing room. The few minutes before they come on the pitch, watch them carefully and watch how many of them go into the bathroom to do their own things. Those of them who have things, papers they bring out to pray. Those, when they are in camp, will seek permission that there's somebody who prays for him. So the person is coming to pray for him. And some of them will say, no, we don't want anyone to come and pray for anybody. Those, when they are in camp, they receive messages a day or so before they send parcels from Malam Celeste. They believe in a lot of things.
Yeah.
Whether it works for them or not, I don't know.
We don't know. Yeah, it's very well.
The people at the earthing, they know this.